This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Coming up at 8:30, Servasio Dennis, the linebacker at Pittsburgh, will join this program. And then at 9 o'clock, we have the women's basketball preseason honors.
That's it.
And preseason poll as well.
59 minutes. We have to keep it quiet, Wes. Yeah. We have been perfect in our relationship with the Atlantic Coast Conference and keeping secrets.
Right.
And not then, one time have we screwed up.
And then behind that, by the way, Hannah Steelman, NC State Cross Country All-America at 9:15.
Can you catch the Pac-Mobile? That's what the question is at South Bend, Indiana. It's next gone. Friday morning.
It's gone. It's no longer a golf cart, which it never was.
They
it
told
was,
me it wasn't a golf cart.
It was an ATV.
Which is even better. You know what you can do in an ATV?
Pop it.
You can go over stuff.
Yeah, you can. Great. And then now it's the Pac-Mobile.
It's the Pac-Mobile.
You're going to drive it through a bunker on a golf course?
One bunker or more? I'm going to go higher.
Oh, man. All right. Best game in the series has been fun to look at the last couple of weeks, so we're going to do it again today because we've got a few conference games here that have got a little link to them. Syracuse and Virginia Tech are going to meet for the 19th time, but this is the first meeting since Justin Fuente's first year when the Hokies went to Blacksburg in 2000. I mean, they went to Syracuse in 2016, ranked. Remember?
And lost.
31-17 at the Carrier Dome. That was part of the Dino Babers uprising, too, with Eric Dungy and Syracuse getting it done that day.
The next year they beat Clemson, and all of a sudden you got a sense of, hey, if you're ranked and you're coming to the Loud House,
yep,
you better get ready to play. But they took care of business this day. By the way, Virginia Tech needs to burn those unis and never bring those back.
Stormtrooper look.
No, that didn't work.
And it didn't work that day. The linebacker. Yeah.
No, it didn't work that day in the old Carrier Dome. Now just the dome.
Yeah. So the chrome orange helmets of Eric Dungy. Orange rolled up 561 yards on the nation's number three defense.
Beat him up.
Yep.
Sure did.
Dungy became the first player to throw for 300 and run for 100 in the same game. There you go.
But it's, you know, it's an old Big East game is what it
1992
is.
To 2003, they met every year.
Yeah. I mean, it was a Big East showdown. And, of course, now they jump in the ACC, expand in the roster in terms of your teams. You don't get the typical rotation of games and all that great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But those two to go back. I mean, for the old school Syracuse and Virginia Tech fans, they will remember those matchups.
Yeah. Syracuse has won three of the last four, including a triple overtime game in 2002. That's how far the series goes back and how infrequent they play because they're in other divisions. Oh, my, Brian Randall video. Look at here. That's a night game, too. You can tell, right?
You know what it feels like to me for Saturday between these two? It's the 1-2, right? I mean, now you're going to find out who wants to play.
Right.
Syracuse has had three absolutely gut-wrenching, tight losses. Could have won them all.
Damian Rhodes video, by the way.
Old school.
Yeah. 50-42, the Orange over Virginia Tech that day.
Won't see that many points this week.
No. Don't think so either.
Nope.
Clemson at Pittsburgh. This is only the fifth meeting all time. We said Clemson's first trip to Pittsburgh.
That's right. First time to Pitt.
Series is tied 2-2. Tigers have won each of the last two encounters. Of course, the 52-17 last year, Memorial Stadium. The Andrew Booth interception, by the way, to me is like the play you remember.
Superman.
Yeah. And 42-10 in the 2018 championship game. That seems like a long time ago, doesn't it?
It does. But, you know, the ones that I remember, I mean, I remember all of these, but the ones that pop at me was Pittsburgh going to Death Valley and snapping the Tigers.
16. 20,
yeah, the 21-game winning streak when Blewett makes the 48-yard field goal. And ironically, I thought in some respects this was a catalyst for Clemson to go win the national championship. Mm-hmm. Because they lose this game. Remember, that's the same year that NC State had a chance where Dave Dorn missed the chip field goal and they lose in overtime. Clemson survived that one, but they didn't survive this one, Wes. And after this game, you know what? Old Dabo and the boys, they went on a run to win the national championship. And it felt like they almost needed this, if that made any sense. But that was a great night for Pitt football.
Yep.
Great, crazy game.
The inaugural meeting December 30th, 1977. Let's go to the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville.
And look at the cool end zones here. The
Gator, Matt Kavanaugh.
The Gator Bowl should bring these end zones back.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Huh?
I think Greg McGarrity's down there running that now for Rick Catlett, who retired.
They should bring him
back. Oh, look at here, Steve Fuller. Roll it out and it picked off.
I'll tell you what, Pitt beat their brains in that night. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Jackie Sherrill.
34-3, the happy final for the Panthers. 34-3.
I remember watching as a kid.
Oh,
that was a beatdown.
That was Jackie Sherrill's first year.
Jackie Sherrill now. Yeah. Friend of the show.
Charlie Pell, 8-3-1 that year.
Yeah.
Coaching the Tigers.
Charlie eventually stayed in Florida.
And
he left, and guess left, who came over?
That boy hit our boy, that coach over there, youngster Woody, youngster people, he's going to be out of a job. And the Gator Bowl.
This is the part where I go, let's move on. Boston College at Louisville.
You
don't
want to, hey, you're the retro guy. You didn't want to go Gator Bowl?
I love Gator Bowl end zones.
Danny Ford's first game, Woody Hayes' last game.
Yeah.
Charlie Bauman.
Yeah.
Keep your fingers off our people.
Yeah. I like the Gator Bowl end zones, though.
The old Gator Bowl
Come
end zones
Come on, Greg
great.
McGarrity. You can paint those end zones up for the game this
Bring
year.
Bring those back.
Bring those back, yep. BC Louisville for the 14th time on Saturday. Eagles have not won at Louisville since 2017 when they won 45-42. BC won the game, by the way, on a game-ending field goal, but not before A.J. Dillon and Lamar Jackson had a say in it. Eagles got you through the air, too, by the way. Dillon, I don't know if we're going to show the run. He finishes with 272 yards on 39 carries. He had four touchdowns. The 75-yard run features a man's play. We don't have it. He stiff-arms a guy into the turf at Cardinal Stadium.
Guy's still there.
Yeah. We'll check on him Friday.
Still digging him out.
Yeah, we'll check on him Friday when we go to look at the scene. A.J. Dillon was phenomenal. So was Lamar Jackson, but that play alone just stands out because it was an amazing, amazing run by A.J. Dillon in a season where he was amazing.
Lamar Jackson, 512 total.
Yeah.
God, was he great? I mean, I know we talked about him the other day, and it's great that Louisville's retiring the jersey and the number and all that great stuff, but every time you see Lamar Jackson highlights, you're like, wow. I mean, so dynamic.
Yeah.
And he was one of those kind of guys, Wes. He was so athletic. It looked like it was just effortless, right?
Mm-hmm.
It looked like it was barely moving, and yet 10 yards kept going by.
That's it.
Right? He'd take two strides, and he's 15 yards downfield. Couldn't do anything with him.
It seems also that these two schools play close games because in 19, Blanton Creek kicked a 41-yard field goal with a minute left to push Louisville to the win. Again, Cards wearing white at home a lot in these videos sometimes, right?
I like the Oali stuff, man.
1,200 yards of offense. Louisville outgained BC 664 to 563.
Crazy games.
Yeah. Louisville's first conference win in almost 2 years, and Satterfield's first. There's Hunter Long, by the way.
So we get a lot of old Big East showdowns here this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? Kind of the way the schedule matches up. So, there you go.
So, what do you like about the game? I know you got to pull a Herbstreit here. You can't really give me a pick.
No, I like the fact that I think both, again, we understand what the Atlantic is right now. And it's NC State and you got Wake Forest, right?
And Clemson lurking.
Yeah, and BC was in this thing 2 weeks ago when they went to Clemson.
They had a chance.
Louisville, I mean, there are a lot of things about the Virginia game I'm sure they would like to have back. Opportunities to maybe score.
The entire fourth quarter?
Yeah, things like that. I think it's a close game. Somehow or another, I think this ends up, is Louisville's defense ready to start Pat Garwo? That's one. And is Boston College's defense ready to make plays against Malik Cunningham? BC is a little more skewed to run. Zay Flowers' numbers without Dracovic have been different. There's no question. But Louisville's numbers beyond Malik Cunningham, the throw game's been fine. The run game's got to get better.
I want to see how Boston College responds to their second half to NC State.
I totally agree with that, too.
It's the first time this year that they really just got smacked. Mm-hmm. I mean, NC State did a great job in the second half against BC in every facet of the game.
That's right.
And it was the first time I've seen Boston College this year where you just look like, you know, it got away from them. And they just didn't have any answers whatsoever. And I'm sure Jeff Hafley's watched that film and said, hey, we got to be better than that. So I want to see how they bounce back. The Clemson loss was a tough one. Woulda, coulda, shoulda with a break here or there. Mm-hmm. The NC State game felt that way for a half. Second half, see you later. NC State took it to another level. I want to see how BC responds. And same thing with Louisville. You know, they're looking to look back at that Virginia game.
Mm-hmm.
You're up 17 at home going in the fourth quarter. You got to close. How often do we talk about that in this league? Or anywhere, for that matter. Just like baseball last night. You got to close.
Right.
Right? And yeah. So Louisville did not do a great job. Right? You're up 17 at home.
Mm-hmm.
You got Virginia on the ropes. That should have been a W, and it sets the stage for them for the rest of the year. Totally different. Now you lose that game. Same with BC going back-to-back with the L's. And much like Syracuse and Virginia Tech, you know, the loser of those two games is going to be looking around and going, hey, where'd he go? What happened to us? Where'd the season get away from us?
Remember how a year ago, and I know we got more games coming up, NC State, Miami, Georgia Tech, Virginia, so forth, for Savassier Dennis at the bottom
Tavassier.
Of the hour. Remember how a year ago you talked about all the things teams were having to go through, and if they weren't winning and they weren't successful, that at some point
– tap out.
Right. It feels like – that you push and push and push, and we're back to kind of that degree of normal. But there are a couple games this weekend that feel like if they don't go the way they need to go.
Better hold on.
Right.
I'm with you. And those two games in particular are the ones, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Because Virginia Tech, with all those
And I'm not talking about programs, okay? I'm just talking about this year. I'm
talking about the season.
Right, the season.
The season.
Right.
And Virginia Tech, with all those home games, has to eventually hold serve if they can.
Right.
Syracuse, with so many close losses back to back to back,
mm-hmm.
looks for a breakthrough. Same deal. Feels the same way. And same thing with Louisville and BC.
Syracuse, Virginia Tech feels a little more like that than BC and Louisville.
Yeah, I think there's more of a panic for the loser in that game. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
More games this weekend and looking back at history of some of the great matchups.
NC State, Miami. Pack goes to South Florida for the first time since 2012. Chester, you okay?
He says, I'm going to pray about that one.
Is that right? Is that what we're doing?
I'm going to pray about that one.
We're sleeping and we're turned over. And okay.
Whatever. We got Meg back. She loves
Meg
Chester.
Meg loves Chester. And
so if you love the dogs, when Meg's
the lady's
in control.
Choice. Yeah. Chester, the lady's choice.
Yeah, a lot of dog shots during the show.
Okay. Anything we can do? Okay, good. All right. NC State travels to Miami first time since 2012. Dave Doran's first trip as head coach of the Pack to South Florida. Miami and NC State have only played five times since the Canes joined the league. The last five games have all been close. Average margin of victory, 7.5 points. Last season, unranked NC State lost 44-41.
Great game.
Here's the last five games, but first, De'Eric King to Will Mallory. I mean, they were big play. Remember this game, like the fourth quarter lasted an hour and 40 minutes.
It's like a tennis match. They just went back and forth.
There's
and
D.
great
Wiggins.
Catches. We had a bunch of wide receiver use.
Mike Harley over the shoulder.
It's a fun game, man.
Oh, man.
The only thing missing was a great crowd in this game.
That's it.
Right? I mean, that was really the only thing missing. It had everything you wanted except three and outs.
Yeah. 2007, Tom O'Brien's first win at the Orange Bowl. Miami lost despite running it 60 times for 314 yards against the ACC's worst run defense that year.
Don't bring up the Orange Bowl. That makes me sad.
Kirby Freeman was the quarterback for Miami in a litany of quarterbacks. He was 1 for 14, 84 yards, and 3 interceptions.
Every time you bring up the Orange Bowl, a part of me just feels lost.
There you go.
I just hate that thing's not there.
All right.
Because it was a living being, and it's just not the same.
That's right.
I mean, the Hard Rock's fine and all,
mm-hmm.
but the Orange Bowl was unique. It was special.
Yeah.
It was Miami.
No question.
So every time I hear an old game, you mention the Orange Bowl.
Right.
Bothers me.
Stephen Morris, by the way, 2012, threw for what was then an ACC record 566 yards and five scores. I mean, that was at the Rock, which might have been Sun Life then, or Landshark, or Joe Robbie, ProPlayer.com. Look at some of these throws. Philip Dorsett, by the way, on the back end, 62 yards, 19 seconds left. Miami won 44-37. We already told you about last year's game.
Last year's game is the one that is the only one that really...
Five TD passes for De'Aaron King.
It was tremendous. Yeah. Now, we ran the soundbite.
Tyler Van Dyke.
Same team we played last year. I don't think it is. I don't think this NC State team's not even close.
I don't know that I would have offered that one up.
No, I think you may be surprised. Not sure. Through the tunnel.
Not sure I would have offered that one up, Tyler.
Not sure this Miami team is the same as the one that played last year. That's the other thing.
Let me offer you a sneaky series that's full of horror for Georgia Tech. Saturday night in Charlottesville, right here on ACC Network, Georgia Tech goes back to a place where since Scott Sisson, the youngster with the educated toe, as Al Serraldo used to say, kicked the game winner in 1990, part of that documentary, Georgia Tech has not won very much at all.
George Wells said, "You're never going to beat me again here in Charlottesville."
Well, in 1990s, when the series came to kind of national prominence, and you saw the documentary earlier this week, We're Number One. If you haven't seen it, it's fabulous. That was the 1 versus 16 matchup. Sean Moore. There's Terry Kirby with the neck roll. So much good in this video. There's a throw that's... You get all sorts of different players in this. That's Herman Moore. Boy, was he any good? Was Herman Moore any good? Jump ball. I got it. Nice try, Willie Clay. I think that's Willie Clay. Yep. So 41-38. Ball game goes back and forth. Virginia has a huge lead in the first half. Scott Sisson kicks a game winner. 41-38 is the final. But there's more to it.
Yeah, I know that. But before you get to the next one,
yeah.
I watched the documentary Monday, and it was really well done. It was great.
Yeah.
And again, it's hard to believe it was that long ago.
Sure.
It feels like it was just a few years back, right? Time flies.
Nice to see some friends on there too, right? All the people. Tim Beret's on there. Oh, yeah. Jerry Ratcliffe. All good guys.
Yeah. Right. But, you know, it was mentioned in that documentary that was the game that transcended the ACC. I'm not buying that. I'm not.
Okay.
Now, everybody's entitled their opinion.
Sure.
And it was a great game.
What is it for you? 81?
Yes.
10-8 game?
Yes.
Okay. I think the 41-38 Georgia Tech-Virginia game, the Carolina-Clemson game of 10-8 in 81, those are definitely two of the games. They may be the two games.
Well, I didn't say one on the short list.
Right. But how many are on that list? That's the question I keep coming back to. I don't disagree with you on that one or the one in 90 between Georgia Tech and Virginia.
I would tell you Clemson-Louisville 2016.
That's a good one.
Good one. Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson.
But Pack, in terms of the list.
One team won the national championship.
Right.
Didn't split anything. They won it.
Right. So the list being how many games do you think?
Well, I mean, I think you could come up with four or five.
Because in basketball, we start with one.
Basketball is a different animal.
Right.
Football, I think you could come up with 5 to 10. You could.
Mm-hmm.
But to say that, again, this is just my opinion. And when I watched that documentary,
well, those
Monday
guys
night,
are sitting around that table, and they're the ones that played in.
No,
and they
I totally get it. Yeah. And listen, and they should take a great deal of pride because they were tied into a great football game and season.
Right.
Right? But to think that was the game, I mean, you got to have one with Florida State in it, don't you? I'm just saying, with what Florida State's brought to the league.
I would say Florida State, Virginia, 95.
Amen. To me, that game absolutely had a bigger impact on the league than Georgia Tech and Virginia.
By the
in
way,
my opinion.
Anthony Poindexter, he and Wally Lundy on the tackle of Warrick Dunn at the goal line that night. Anthony Poindexter was honored by the National Football Foundation on campus last weekend for his upcoming induction.
That's exactly right.
Great player. Not a good player. Great player.
But, I mean, how do you not have a game involving Florida State in the conversation in this league?
You have to.
You must have them. must have.
So we agree on 95 Virginia, Florida State.
For me, it does.
Okay.
That to me,
Carolina, big, Clemson in 81.
No doubt. Question. No question.
Georgia Tech, Virginia, 90.
Yes.
Okay. Well, those are three.
Those are three. And I would add Louisville.
Louisville, Clemson.
I think that was his most unbelievable thing. Environment, stars, outcome, the game,
yeah,
and how the regular season ended in terms of Clemson winning the national title.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Just saying.
I think there's a list. I think it's short.
There's definitely a list.
But I think there's a list. Top five? Ooh. Top five would be a good list.
Well, we just gave you four.
I know.
That you could not argue against.
Right.
Right. I stopped. I didn't mean to interrupt your Virginia, Georgia Tech love.
No, no. Not. Because we talked about the 90 game. Let's go to 98 in Atlanta. Thomas Jones ran for about 1 million yards. Virginia had 600 yards of offense. This is Joe Hamilton to Dez White. Aaron Brooks quarterbacking the Cavaliers. Felipe Claybrooks got him around the legs. It comes down to the end of the game, and they miss the field goal. 41-38 the final. George O'Leary a winner in those sweet Russell Athletic coaching shirts that weighed about 60 pounds. And, by the way, that is the infamous O'Charlie game for those of you who may have been listening that day. Charlie Rogers returned a punt for a touchdown early in the game. Virginia, by the way, led by 21 points in the third quarter and lost the game.
Happens.
Mm-hmm. I tell you that to show you, don't worry, Cavalier fans, it's not a Georgia Tech love fest here.
Well, it has been so far.
Well, let me just tell you.
I wish you'd do something about
here
that.
Here it is, 2001, the world-famous hook and ladder. Billy McMullen, Alvin Pearman. Pretty sure the ball hit the ground, but we'll play on.
Oh, that's spoken like a true voice of the Yellow Jackets right there.
Touchdown, Virginia. They upset Joe Hamilton. There it is. Look at that.
When you were doing the game, how many times did you say the ball hit the ground?
None.
Six, seven, 15? How many times did you do that on the air?
That's what I'm telling
Jacket
you.
Jacket fans, the ball hit the ground.
I didn't say that.
What'd you say?
I just said.
What'd you say?
The catch. He laterals to Pearman.
And?
He's going to score, and Virginia's going to win the game.
Wait a minute. That's all you
Merrick
said?
Merrick Watson almost got to the quarterback.
Wait a minute. You didn't give us any
No, I didn't go that
route. You didn't give me an opinion.
Didn't do that.
You gave me no opinion
no
on
opinion
that play
on that.
As the voice of the Jackets.
No, my analyst did, the late Kim King.
What did he say?
He said he thought the ball hit the ground.
How many times?
Twice.
Excuse me?
Thought the ball hit the ground, Wesley. That's what he said.
What'd you say?
They're scoring it a touchdown,
oh,
Cam.
Come on. As the voice of the Jackets, you should
I
say,
was not a
we got absolutely
I was, no, there
host.
Was no we, us, or our. You can ask people. There still is no we, us, or our.
You didn't question the ACC officials on the air?
No.
Wow.
Didn't want to get a phone call.
How long did they keep you as the voice of the Jackets?
18 years.
Wow. Georgia Tech, come on. I want my play-by-play guy to be calling to
some
act
did.
Like a Tennessee fan
some
at
did.
The beer sales were in the third
some
quarter.
Some did.
I would be all over you.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, Durham, ball hit the ground. Call the officials. That was too close just to pretend like it didn't happen.
Well, we didn't have instant replay back then.
You didn't
either.
Need it. You're the voice.
My God, the ball hit the ground.
Right.
You want me to do Munson
no,
too
I don't,
or
no,
something?
No, don't you bring Munson into this. It's a Georgia Tech conversation.
I understand.
Come on. You had to have the pom-poms out. Had to.
No.
Oh, I would have been screaming.
At the radio?
If I was an Atlanta guy,
yeah,
I would have been screaming at you.
Yeah, some did.
Gosh.
They're probably happy now.
You think the tape was sent to Greensboro?
Of my radio call?
No.
Oh, of that
play.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was. Here's the part, by the way, before we go to break. Virginia ran the play that they scored on the down before they scored. And frickin' Billy McMullen dropped the ball.
The ball hit the ground that time, didn't it?
Yeah, it was an incomplete pass.
Yeah. Did you say that?
No, because we were too busy trying to get stops. Georgia Tech's too busy trying to get stops, so the defense couldn't get stops. 2001.
Jacket fans, I swear I could have heard him say the word we.
They were trying to get stops. I did say we. They were trying to get stops for O'Leary.
Get out of here again.
We, yes, you heard a we, but you didn't hear it
How
on the air.
How about 2 minutes ago when you said, I don't do I's, me's, we's?
Not on the air.
Oh, okay.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Well, I appreciate all of you chiming in to tell me that the hook and lateral, since Billy McMullen's lateral to Alvin Pearman would have been a fumble, not an incomplete. You're right. That doesn't matter to Georgia Tech fans. They saw the ball on the ground.
There now we're talking about the ball on the ground.
Yeah. So there you go. That's it. We move on. Get Servassier Dennis on here.
Get my man Servassier.
Servassier Dennis was a pleasure to visit with. Talented linebacker and part of a great group, right? And they played great on Saturday at Virginia Tech. So we asked him, what's it been like, this run-up to the season so far? It had to be good.
It's been exciting. The guys are all together, and, you know, we're just excited to play with each other.
It's interesting. You guys finished strong last year. Has that been the carryover? Because Roddy Jones and I had your spring game, and it looked like there was more connectivity within a football team for the spring than maybe before. Do you feel like it happened at the end of last year? I mean, you had Vincent's big day in Atlanta, that kind of deal. I mean, it seems kind of elementary, but is it that simple sometimes?
Yes, I think so with us. And then the big announcement with Kenny coming back, that just, you know, made us even more tighter. So just being able to, you know, make sure or see the guys come back and have a full team again, It just got everyone excited.
All right, forget this football for a second. I am so glad you are on the show because a year ago when I heard Servassier, I said, you know what? I'm changing my name to Servassier. Everything about that just sounds cool. And then you throw in Servassier Leviticus. I've got to know about the name. What was mom and dad thinking? What's the story behind all that?
All right, so, yeah, it's a big story behind it. My dad was actually at dinner with my grandfather, and they were thinking of names. And my dad's name is actually Cervantes. So they were thinking of names, and I have an older brother who's already Cervantes, so I couldn't have that name. And they were just thinking. And a waitress came out and asked them if they would like a specialty drink that night, and the drink had Courvoisier in it. And he was And he was like, oh, man, that's the name. So he mixed it in with the sir, made it Servassier, and Leviticus is actually his middle name, so I just took his middle name.
I gotta tell you, it makes it even better hearing the story because I didn't know the backdrop with all that, And now you come full circle. It now makes even more sense. It is the coolest name ever, Servassier. I mean, you got to be a baller if your name's Servassier. You know that, right?
Exactly.
While you're at Pitt, you know, when somebody says, "Hey, I'm Joe. Well, nice to meet you." Or, "Hey, my name's Susan. Nice to meet you." When you go, "Well, I'm Servassier." I mean, there's got to be like a little accent or something with that, right? Come on, Servassier.
Always. Yeah. People always ask, like, "What kind of nationality is that? Like, what name is that? French?" Sometimes I always say, "Yeah," and I just go with it. But
yeah, you do. All right, sure. Why not? Right.
I love that. That's even better.
And it's also. The thing about it is it kind of, I mean, you got guys with great names on your defense, right? I mean, you got Kalijah Cansey in front of you playing in the defensive line. Haba Baldonado. I mean, come on. Servassier, you guys are full of great stories and really good football players. I mean,
definitely.
And it seems like everybody's emerging at the same time. Offensively, you guys have been geared up a while. But defensively, it looks like it's starting to round into form for you.
Yes, definitely. Like I said, everyone just came back, and we're just excited to play with each other. And, you know, this is a group of guys that's been in the same recruiting class, and, you know, we just came in together. So just being able to be on the field, we just have more chemistry, and we just love playing with each other.
By the way, does Kenny Pickett know that you've stolen his spot? I mean, Pickett's on here more than we are. For quite, it might as well be the Kenny Pickett show. Does he know that you're now hogging the spotlight on the program?
No, I don't think he knows, but please don't tell him.
he's going to find
all
out.
Good.
He's going to find out. Hey, listen, you guys are playing that complimentary football. It's going to work out.
Yeah.
But he's going to be upset that you got the phone call and he didn't this week.
Yeah, please don't tell Kenny. But yeah, he's playing amazing right now. He came back and he just bought in and he made everybody buy in with him, and you know that's why he's our leader and that's why we love him.
Well, I tell you what, the combinations, the number of guys catching the ball, Servassier. I mean, defensively, I know you guys are getting coached up and things like that during offensive segments, but good heavens, the number of guys catching passes, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And this is something we see on a regular day at practice. So to me, it's normal now. But, man, they're just amazing.
Hey, forget the offense, man. Let's talk about the defense. 224 total yards. That's all Virginia Tech got last week. You knew you were walking into a hostile environment, and it was kind of cool to see the defense basically go, hey, we got this. You don't have to worry about putting 50-something on the board. You know what? We're just going to shut somebody down this weekend.
Yeah, and as a defensive player, like I said, you love those type of things, being in a hostile environment, being a villain at a different type of school, especially an ACC school. It's just, that's just football. And the defense being able to do that while the offense is also rolling and on a high ceiling, man, it's just complimentary football.
All right, so now here comes Clemson. You guys know the situation. It's not like you hadn't been to Clemson. You've seen them get off the bus and that deal. What's the focal point this week for you guys? Because this seems like a week where, you know, with all the other stuff going on about this game, 3:30, ESPN, the whole bit, this seems to me to be, Servassier, one of those Pat Narduzzi back to basics. We got to do boom, boom, and boom to be successful.
Yes, we're just focusing on ourselves this week. Whether that's something how we can fix our weaknesses or we can fix whatever we need to do. But this week is our focus, and this is all about us. Mm. And it's not just because, you know, who we're playing. It's always a big game, and we're always trying to go 1-0 each week. So if we could just focus on us and worry about what we do best and, you know, go out there and play our best football, amazing things can happen.
Well, I'll tell you what is unusual this week. Not only is it Clemson, but for the first time ever, they're making the road trip to your home. We've seen the Gator Bowl 100 years ago, and you've been down to Death Valley a time or two. We've seen the ACC championship game in Charlotte. But Dabo Swinney might need to get an address to make sure he knows where he's going, because we've never seen Clemson at Pitt. So it's kind of strange, given the scheduling world that we're in this point in time. But the first time for the Tigers to head to your town.
Yeah, this is exciting. And I know the fans and the crowd, we need them there. And it's just going to be a juiced up game. And to see that in Heinz, ooh, that's amazing. I can't wait.
Hey, I want to dive into something here real quick. And we covered the name thing, which is a great story. And I love the story. But you're from Syracuse. Mm-hmm. You went to Christian Brothers. How does one go from there to Pittsburgh? And, I mean, did... It was at a time maybe when Syracuse was going through the coaching change, or what was the scenario there?
Well, in high school, I actually played quarterback. So Syracuse mostly recruited me for quarterback. But I knew I wanted to play defense all along. And I just didn't like where I was in the quarterback, you know, area or whatever. So I went to prep school down in New Jersey, the Petty School down in Hightstown, New Jersey. And I had an amazing coach, and he kind of transformed me into a linebacker. I've never played linebacker. And he transformed me into a linebacker, and I guess I just blew up as a linebacker.
The old prep school.
Yeah.
The old prep school got him, Pac.
That happens. That happens from time to time.
I want to tell you, though, let me just offer this to you. You'd have been a bad man at quarterback now. You'd have been a bad man. I mean, Servassier on the roller. All of a sudden, I become a jazz announcer. I'm not a play-by-play announcer. I become a jazz announcer.
I'm telling you.
Servassier on the rollout.
I mean, it doesn't – when you're in the first name Servassier, you can play any role you want.
That's it.
That's the way it rolls. Bad boy.
I wish.
No, I know better. Listen, this week your coach, Pat Narduzzi, was really throwing out the fact that, hey, I don't want to hear any more outside noise. Yeah, we're in the top 25. Those rankings don't mean squat. But it had to feel good to finally see some – national representation of Pitt in a ranking, doesn't it? I mean, I know that's not the focus, but just the acknowledgement that people are now starting to pay attention. That had to feel good.
Yeah, it definitely felt good. And like I said, at this point, we're just worried about going 1-0 every week. So just to see that, you know, everything is paying off from off season to fall camp to now, it's really nice.
Hey, by the way, this guy, DJ Uiagalelei, about 6'5", 250. You got no issues with that if he comes in the middle, does it? I mean, he's a grown man coming your way this weekend.
It is a grown man, but, you know, I play against a lot of grown men, so I'm...
It's football. I love it. All right, before we let you go, our traditional question, and I'm sure word's gotten out. Servassier, since you've been in Pittsburgh, what has been your most difficult class?
Difficult class?
Yep.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. I'm just going to say I love math. You know, not too many people love math. I love math. But my most difficult class was business calculus. Yeah, it gave me a run. Yeah, it gave me a run, man. I'm telling you, it gave me a run.
Speaking of grown men, business calculus
is a grown man.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, listen, continued success. We've been watching from afar. Our apologies to Kenny Pickett for you stealing the spotlight this week on the show. And we wish you the very best this Saturday afternoon against the Tigers.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
He was fun.
Terrific.
Yep.
Terrific.
Good football player. One of several on that side of the ball.
Yep.
Hosting Clemson Saturday afternoon, 3:30 over on ESPN.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Fuller obligatory likes, show. Oh, we're stretching out.
Oh, yeah,
guys, stretch out.
Fuller loves to watch tennis on television.
Tennis.
He does, I swear to you.
Well, because he chases a tennis ball.
I know,
ball.
But if there's a tennis match on, he is dialed in.
Be careful saying ball.
I know. He's a ball dog.
The ball dog, yeah.
But he loves watching tennis. And any show that's got animals on it, he's in. He's watching.
There you go. More fan accounting. Women's basketball preseason honors coming up top of the hour. Hannah Steelman at 9:15 before we're done here on the Packer and Durham Wednesday edition. Robert Barnes. I think Robert has submitted before to fan accounting, but I know Robert has submitted here. He's got 15 teams. He's added one. We've had expansion. Wake 1, Pitt 2, State, Virginia, Virginia Tech, Clemson, BC, Georgia Tech, top 8. Louisville, Florida State, Carolina, Syracuse, Miami, Duke, and UMass.
How did Virginia Tech get there? Somebody explain that one to me.
I'm going to let
you. Is that a typo?
Hey,
it's his list.
It is.
Virginia Tech.
5.
5. Yeah. Okay.
Clemson, 6.
Well, I mean, the Tigers, you know, listen, they lose this week. They're going to drop a little bit more, but there's no way you can put Virginia Tech in the top 5.
That's exactly right.
Under no circumstance.
Yeah. All right. Robert, thank you. Bryant Sechrist. I know he's submitted before.
He has.
NC State 1, Wake 2, Pitt 3, Clemson, Virginia, Boston College, Virginia Tech, Florida State. 9 is Carolina, 10 Louisville, Georgia Tech, Miami, Syracuse, Duke, rounded out. Roughing the passer calls are 15. Miami shoulder tackles are 16, or lack thereof.
Yeah, they've had a hard time wrapping up this year.
Yeah.
Might want to look into that this weekend when NC State comes to town. Just saying.
A little more than shoulder tackles?
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tyson Boatnight is next on fan accounting. Tyson has NC State 1, Pitt 2, Wake 3. Clemson, Virginia, Louisville, Florida State, Carolina, Boston College 9, Virginia Tech, followed by Miami, Syracuse, Georgia Tech, and Duke. Vol fans are 15. Clemson's offense is 16.
Some would say trash personified at 15 and 16.
Oh, man.
Some would say that.
Yeah, I think so. All right. Last one we've got here, Coach Greiser. I believe. I hope I'm pronouncing the last name right.
I'll just go with Coach.
Beat L.A. again. Hat is number 1.
I like that.
Yeah, well, he's
even
playing.
Even though the Braves last night kind of turned the clock back to Octobers of yesteryear, didn't they? Good grief. What are you doing?
Cody Bellinger, bless your heart. Wake is 2, State, Pitt, Clemson, Virginia, BC, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, Louisville, Carolina, Florida State, Syracuse, Miami, Duke, and Gabe Morales is 16. I think this guy's right there with you. I think he's a Giants guy.
He's got good taste, number one.
Just hates the Dodgers.
Well, that's America, so it's kind of hard to lump everybody in the same boat.
That's America.
Gabe Morales getting two votes at least this week.
Yeah.
He earned it.
Little did Gabe know he was on the list, right?
It's nice.
Yeah. So, oh, there's Brother Fuller.
There's
earlier.
Brother Fuller. Yeah,
looking straight at the camera.
Thin up, got a little gray around the muzzle. 7 years old.
All we can
living
do.
Large.
More the dogs, the better. Right.
I keep telling you, people. You know, you guys are fine, but man, we really want to see the dogs. Yeah. More
Hotel
often.
Was my favorite.
There's Brother Fuller.
Fuller, you're the man. He's the man.
Birthday is in May, and you know.
Staring right at the camera.
He loves it, man. He will watch it. He will watch
tennis?
Any kind of tennis he loves.
Yeah.
And he loves anything with animals in it. He will sit there and watch television all day.
Very behaved group of dogs.
They're well trained. Even though Mrs. P thinks I'm nuts when I say that. She goes, you are out of your mind. I said, the dogs go downstairs. You have no issues.
Well trained.
At 10:05, they know it's time to go to Bo
James. Free for all. Is that what we're finding out?
Mrs. P says that, but they get, you know, they like me. Wherever I go, they just follow me around the house.
Don't we all?
Not necessarily.
Don't we all?
Well, would I love to take them to South Bend? Would they be a hit at the ACC Cross Country Championships?
Oh, sure.
Huh?
Yeah.
Right, Chester riding shotgun?
No question.
The commissioner in the back?
Commissioner. In the back of the old Pac-Mobile? Pac-Mobile.
Commissioner, you're the man, but Chester's riding shotgun.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Man. All right, coming up, women's basketball honors. And Hannah Steelman of NC State to help Pac understand what she's looking for as a rabbit driver.
The lead.
Yeah, the lead. What Hannah will be looking for. She's been with us several times.
This will be her third appearance, by the way. Third appearance for Hannah.
And it's been excellent each time.
Excellent.
Has a brother, by the way. She transferred from Wofford to NC State. Has a brother plays basketball at Wofford.
That's it.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to visiting with Hannah, finding out how the season's been.
I think we should get some
accolades. She and Ellie Hennis, by the way, the stars at NC State.
Well, as the commissioner pointed out a week ago when he handed me the invite, you know, the league is loaded.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm having fun with this rabbit thing, but, man, there's some serious talent in the league as far as individuals and teams nationally.
Mm-hmm.
So this is no joke, Wes.
Yep.
I mean, I've told you, 10-2, I'll have that thing heading in the right direction. But we got to get some speed on the Pac-Mobile because we got some talent behind me.
Yeah.
You ever been in a pace car at a NASCAR event?
No.
I've done that once.
How was that?
Awesome. I sense
Is that what you're kind of envisioning?
I am.
Okay.
And I've done the pace car during a race.
Like the old World 600, Coca-Cola 600?
Here
you were in the pace car?
Yes. And it was awesome. Because let me tell you something.
Do you have to wear the suit and everything?
No.
Oh.
No. Baseball hat. Baseball hat, pair of jeans.
Baseball hat. Wrong. You have to wear the helmet and all that if you're in the pace car.
No, I didn't. I had a baseball hat and a pair of jeans, and I was strapped in.
Was it a convertible?
No. No.
What kind of car?
I waved it at the camera, though.
Of course
when it came
you did,
by.
Yeah.
Put my arm right out there. And the guy said, put your arm back in there.
All right.
It's awesome.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.